Good morning. It's a real honor to be here. I've just been here for since Wednesday, and it's just been so good. It's just been so good to be with all of you. You're like family to me, and to my family, we want to say that you know, you're also family to us, and we're family to you. It's just a big. I wish that my wife and two kids could come here, but we had some construction going on at my house, and we were not able to bring the whole family at that time. Someone had to be at our house in North Carolina, so yeah, we have we were here about a year ago. I brought my wife Gladys and our son, our first son Roshan, and then since then we've had another boy. And his name is Isaac, or Isaac is the way that pronounce it here. So my wife is Filipina, and we have Roshan, who was born in the Philippines. And our doctors in the Philippines said that all of the ultrasounds said that he was going to be a girl. And so we were actually preparing for a girl, and you know, I had like painted. You know, her room, like pink, and I made this like big purple flower right on the wall. Like I painted it, and I was like so excited. All of my friends and family shipped over like this big box of like pink and purple clothing, and then we come to the hospital on the when she was due, and you know, we had her first, you know, pink clothes with little flowers on there. And then Roshan, the boy, came out. And the doctor said, "Congratulations, it's a boy." We're just like, "What? What is this about?" So, yeah, tell the truth, we still don't know what happened. But God had really ordained for our first child to be a son, and he was born on Rosh Hashanah. And so we felt like, you know, he's our first child. Rosh Hashanah means the opener, the beginning, the head. And we just feel like Roshan's going to be a voice to the nations, calling people to come to Jesus and for the second coming of our Lord Jesus. And then Isaac, we just felt like, you know, he's just, we just felt like there's going to be someone that represents joy in our family, because both me and Gladys are very introverted. We have joy, but it's all on the inside. You know, we don't always show it. And I'm very proud of my introvertedness. But we need someone in our family, and our, so we just felt prophetically like our son, our next son should be Isaac, the son of joy and laughter. And that's what he is. He was born, and as soon as like he came out, he's smiling. He's just been such an amazing son to us, and it's amazing. I love kids, and I love family. And it's just a real joy to be here with all of you. And Pastor Jamie and Nikki, I just want to thank you so much for the connection that you guys have with my family, and the way that you, as a church family here, have just been with us step to step ever since we've gotten to know you. And thanks for inviting me back. It's a real special honor for me, because if you know anything about me and what we do, it's pretty out there. It's pretty far out there, pretty radical. And sometimes, a lot of times when I go to churches and speak, I'm never asked back. Yeah. 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 So I appreciate you guys letting us come back. Yeah, they're like, yeah, that's a great story. All right, see ya. But yeah, just if you want to get to know, I'm not going to try not to talk a lot about us tonight or today. But if you want to get to know us a little bit more, you can visit our website. It's evergreenmissions.com. And our missions name is Evergreen Missions. A few years ago, I had lived in different nations for the past 10 years. And our real heart is to go to the unreached people, untouched people, go to the farthest places possible, and bring the name of Jesus and his kingdom to the people who have never heard the name of Jesus, have never been able to experience his kingdom. And I was just talking about this a little bit last night, but if you look in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9, you guys know this verse, but it's not going to get really into it, but I'm just going to read this verse to you. The verse 9, it says, after this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes, and peoples, and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And talked about this a little bit last night. This is a prophetic picture of, the second coming of Christ and all nations coming to know Christ and, calling out and worshiping him. I think a lot of times us in the church, we think that, we say, oh, okay, yeah, the gospel has already reached every nation, so it's like, I think we're there. Now we're just waiting for Christ, right? And the truth is that the gospel has reached every nation. It has gone to every nation in the world, right? But the truth also is that if you look after it says all tribes, then it says all peoples and languages. But the truth is that the gospel has not reached all peoples and languages yet. And I have been to, let me just give you an example. In the Philippines alone, there are 178 languages and dialects, both. There are so many different people groups within the nation of the Philippines, just like within our nation, the United States. We just had a week spending time with the Dakota people. So there are actually many different nations within our nation, just like in other nations. There are many different language groups. And a lot of those language groups that I've had the opportunity to know about and go to, they still haven't heard the name of Jesus. And so we're not there yet. Come on, let's go for it. Let's keep going. I just want to encourage you, like, keep giving into this. Keep giving into it. Keep going into the nations, because what you're doing is good. What you're investing into is a kingdom. So, a few years ago, I was Gladys and I came back to the United States. And we experienced our first winter that we've had in like years, many years, And winter in North Carolina is nothing like your winter here. But it's still cold. It's still cold, okay? And then if you're living in the tropical, sun for years and years, and then you come back to like winter weather, it's like, oh my goodness. It's freezing. But anyway, in North Carolina, if you've been there, you know, there are lots of trees. We have trees everywhere. When you ride down the roads, you're just, like, covered in trees, basically. But that winter that I was there, all of the leaves had fallen from the tree. And Gladys, it was actually her first time to ever see snow or anything. And she was like asking me, are those trees dead? I was like, no, they're not dead. It's just that the leaves have fallen off and there's still life inside. But they do look dead, but they're still alive. Yeah. And the only trees that were still the same were the evergreen trees. And through that whole winter, I kept looking at those evergreen trees, and I was like, man, I developed this prayer in my heart that, Father, whatever you do through me and whatever you do through my family and people, let it be evergreen. Let it be continuous. Whenever I pass away and I die and move on, let what you're doing through me right now continue. Let it be evergreen. And so that's been my prayer, and that's the reason why that we, you know, call ourselves Evergreen Missions. So I'm gonna speak prophetically what I feel and what the Lord's doing in you, but I'm also gonna kind of try to attempt to give you some updates on the Thin and Unknown, because a lot of you have asked about this tribe that I talked about last year. But I don't want to get like real deep into it. If you want to really hear the story of the Thin and Unknown, then you can go to our website, or you can actually get one of our CDs, because I'm looking at the back of the CD. On the last song of this album, it actually has this, me speaking at a conference, and I told the whole story there. But basically, a few years ago, the Lord had given me this vision, this dream, where I had actually saw this tribe of people, and I'd never seen them before, and they told me that their names were the Thin and Unknown. And then I also saw this like really cool musical instrument, and I saw this all in this dream, and it was really amazing. But I just woke up and I felt like it was from the Lord, and really pursued it. And after time, things unfolded, and it turned out that there's a tribe in this world called the Thin and Unknown. They're located in the southern island of the Philippines, and I had taken this instrument to them, and it turns out that this instrument was actually a lost ancient instrument from 100 or 150 years ago that was lost. And so it was redeemed back, like when I gave it to them, it was redeemed back to their people. And there's been this big open door to the gospel to this group of people of nearly 100,000 people. Yeah, and so the chief of this tribe, whenever you see the photo or the painting picture that's on the front of this album, you see like a man's face there, and that's actually the chief of the tribe. And he was the one that actually opened the gospel. He was actually one that received me. I was the one that gave the instrument to him. He opened the gospel wide open for us to come in. And they ended up giving me a headpiece of a chief as well. And they said that whatever you feel like we should go, we're going to follow. And whatever you think that we should do, that's where we're going to go. And so in return, I kind of just asked them, like, what can I do for you? And how can I help you? And they said, if you can do one thing, I want you to help us with this. Help us translate your book into our language. Yeah. And so ever since then, the Lord has just opened up so many doors, and we actually have a Bible translation project going right now. And about a couple years ago, the Bible translation project was started, and it's actually ongoing. They believe that it's going to probably be about 15 years before the whole Bible is translated. And they're pursuing two different Bible, actually. They're pursuing the, you know, the actual written Bible. This will be like for the younger generation that's learning how to read and write. And then they're also going to have an audio Bible that's for the older generations that don't have the opportunity to learn how to read and write. And so actually, you can't just like all of a sudden just say, you jump into it and say, all right, we're going to translate the Bible. Okay, let's go for it. Go. It's not like that. It's, you know, we have to first start with taking two people. We started with taking two people from the tribe. We got them. They went to a university and got their master's in linguistics and community development. And then these are actual tribal Tinanun people. And so they went back to their tribe. And when they went back to their people, they started the translation. But the first thing to do before you can actually translate the Bible, you have to figure out your own alphabet. So that's where they're starting. They're starting from the beginning of developing their own alphabet, and just from there, they're getting a whole group of different aged people, different people from different places of their tribe to be a part of the translation team. And then they just told me recently that the first book that they're going to translate is the book of Luke. Yeah, so that's a good book that actually helps. They can really relate with the book of Luke, with the stories and the parables and the life of Jesus, and it's really all encompassing for them. So that's a good book. So I say that just to ask for you guys to like be praying for them. There's a lot going on right now. We're also doing a lot of amazing things. Like this last trip, we went back to the tribe. It was back in December, a few months ago, and we just had this worship night one night, and oh my goodness, it was so amazing. Just the Holy Spirit just came and just touched people's hearts and just swept over the place. And I thought it was like so late at night. It was like the service started at 8 and it went until, so late. It was like 11:30 or 12. And that's really late in the Philippines, because once the sun sets, it's time to go to bed, you know. But they just wanted to keep pursuing the Lord. And just the Holy Spirit kept just coming over and over again and just touching their hearts. And things like that are happening all the time. Two times ago that we went to Tinanun, they were actually in the middle of this drought where it had not rained for 6 months. And this is a big deal for their people because they're farmers. And we prayed into it. We said, let's just ask the Holy Spirit right now. Let's just ask the Father to bring rain. And me and some of the believers there were only a few believers right now, but we got together and we prayed. And in the middle of our prayer, we heard thunder. And about 30 minutes later, just the whole place was just a downpour. And it rained for a day straight. Yeah. So stuff like that's happening, you know. It's just really exciting because we get to see, yeah, we're doing the translation, but it's going to be many years before this is going to be like finished. But we're also seeing the hand of God move, hearts being opened, and they're leaning in and saying, "Who is this Jesus you're talking about?" You know, so that's good. That's just really exciting. So. I want to show you a few pictures too. Can we show those pictures? I don't know if they're up. I don't know if they're ready, but this picture here is pretty cool because on my we minister actually many different tribal groups in the Philippines, and I want to show this picture because I want to tell you just real quickly the story behind this. We actually have been praying for this group of people for about, I think, 6 or 7 years. They're called the Sulit, and Sulit kind of means like the warrior people, it's hard to explain this. It's hard to explain that word, but these people groups are people who are a scattered group of people that live in the forest. They live really, really deep in the jungle, and every time that anyone, either they're Filipino or they're foreigners or anyone in history that have tried to come to these people, they attack them and kill them just over and over again. And this has been a tribe that has never been able to experience what it's like to know other people groups, because they live in this kind of warrior mindset that this is my land, do not come near me. If you do it, I'm going to kill you. And they don't care. They have, for years, they have just not cared at all about education or about migrating in any different areas. They stay in their area. But they're a scattered group, so like they don't really have villages. Actually, they live in pockets, and they're supposed to be somewhere between 10 and 15,000 people. And so we have actually been praying for the open door for about 5 or 6 years, and it hasn't been successful. But about a year ago, we have this dorm in the city, and what we do is we actually take a lot of the tribal students who want to learn, they want to go to get some education. You know, they don't have schools in these different areas. So actually what we've done is established a dorm in the city, the closest city, and we take these students and bring them to the dorm. They can still live in this dorm, and we have dorm parents that are just really amazing, on fire people. It's like a small church there, and they're able to get education, but also be in a very good umbrella of, you know, just learning how to live the city life as a tribal person. But anyway, we had our first graduates last year, and they graduated at a university there. And when they graduated, one of them became a teacher, and they passed the board exam of the Department of Education. And it just happened to be that same moment, that same time, the Sulit people, the elders of that tribe, decided, okay, we want to have our first school as a Sulit people, which is a big deal. Imagine a people group that are they only have a spoken language, and then suddenly they say, okay, yeah, we want to be educated. We want to learn how to read and write, and we want to learn about history and things like that. That's a big deal. It's going to shift their culture completely. And the elders of this tribe finally decided that, and they contacted the Department of Education, and they said, yeah, we want to have our first school here. Well, it happened to be that at that exact moment, our first student who graduated from our dorm became a certified Department of Education teacher. And the Department of Education assigned him to that people group. And so when we heard this, we were just like, yes, this is our open door. And like the guy, you know, the guy that is now a teacher, he is just on fire. He loves Jesus. He's passionate about him. But he is a tribal man. And he knows the culture. He knows the life. and he knows the language of these people. So he's been assigned to these people. He built a little house there. They don't even have a school. There are 850 students. And they all stand out in the open field every day. And he stands up on this little platform, and he just yells out to all of them, teaching them. And they're just like receiving all of this information. It's totally new to him, to them, you know, to learn about Philippine culture, Philippine history, to learn why there were wars in their World War II. The Philippines were like a real strategic area. They're learning about all this stuff, and they're learning the language and different languages, learning how to read and write. And then this teacher has also opened up the gospel to this people. And now the elders are actually wanting to know about Jesus. Yeah. And then the elders actually invited me on this last trip to go there. And I was kind of like, I'm not sure, because I don't want to get shot or stabbed or whatever. I've got a wife and kids at home. But we were at the same time like, yeah, let's do it, because I love that kind of stuff. But anyway, I went, and when I got there, the elders just came and embraced me, and they said, you're always welcome to our people. And we were able to share the gospel to their whole tribe. It was amazing. 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 This picture here is, just a group of women who were, they went to the fields to get sweet potato, which is their food there that they eat all the time. And they put it in the baskets, and then they hang the baskets like in the back, and the strap comes up over their head. You know, so it's actually their head that's like, you know, holding so that they can walk and carry other things while they're heading back to the village. Most of these girls are 12 and 13 years old. And two of them are pregnant. Yeah, you can see the two that are pregnant. And so they marry very young. And that's their culture. And so anyway, praise the Lord. I'm just so excited about that. Do we have any other photos there? Oh, yeah. This is we take teams there a lot. And this is in the man there that's sitting, the Filipino guy that's sitting right beside me. He is my best friend. He is the connection to all of the tribes that I have, almost all of the tribes that I have in the Philippines. He's one of my best friends. Him and I met on the Sea of Galilee in Israel about 10 years ago. And everything has come out of that relationship there. And there we are with my other best friend from North Carolina, and a guy from, where is he from? Oh, he's from Kansas, sorry. He's from Kansas, and he's a Bible scholar, and he's helping with the anthropological research for the Tinanan. Anyway, we're eating frogs there. You're probably wondering what that is, but those are frogs, and they're yummy. Bones and everything. Oh, I'm sorry, guys. I know this is church, but we have any other photos? That's the Tinananun. I mean, no, this is the Sulit people. And that kind of gives you an idea of what they look like. Most of them are teenagers. They grow up with a mentality that do not ever associate with outsiders. And A lot of them you see with headbands, and that's a mark of a warrior. Yeah, that means that they've already killed someone, or they've already had some association with a, you know, with a group that killed someone. So, yeah. Do we have any other photos? Oh, this one breaks my heart. I got this one like professionally printed on a really big canvas, and we just have this in my living room, and it just reminds me of them and the people group. This is on our last trip, the Sulit people. So, yeah, good. Thanks. There's more. Oh, this is the Destiny. This is the Destiny family. I'm sure you guys know them. And we had a really wonderful worship night on this last trip. And just had a real powerful time just worshiping, and went, I think, for about 8 hours straight. No, more than that. It was like 10 hours straight, just worship. There's this, keep praying for them. I mean, they're just, pray for all those students and the Destiny family. It's amazing what the Lord's doing in that group of people in the Philippines. So yeah, that's good. That's enough photos. So you guys good? I felt in my heart, it's funny because last night I had a bunch of dreams. I had this like really wild dream. I thought they were pizza dreams. And I actually told Pastor Jamie earlier, I had a bunch of dreams, and he was like, do you think they were prophetic? And I was like, nah, I don't think so. But now when we were in worship, I realized that they are. Revelation came to me. I saw in my dream, I was walking together with an elderly woman who had such wisdom because of the struggles that she had gone through in her life and the victories that she walks in because of knowing how to get through those struggles. And anyway, I was like, really, in my dream, I was like really, really fascinated in this woman, because I wanted her to impart to me all of the knowledge, the wisdom, revelation that she has. And we were traveling, and she tripped on something and she fell, and I picked her up and saw that the Lord told me in the dream that her spine was messed up because of this fall. And so the Lord gave me the authority to heal her back right there. So I prayed with her. She was healed. And then just thinking about that this morning, the Lord gave me revelation while we were worshiping. And the Lord said that there are lots of elderly people here who have extreme wisdom and extreme impartation that they need to give to the younger generation. At the same time, there's a younger generation that has the resilience to support the elderly in their calling to keep going. And I believe that this is a, I just really feel like this dream was given to me for you guys. And I just really feel in my heart that there is a real importance of acknowledging the gifting that God has given each generation. Yes. And whenever, doesn't matter how old are you, how old you are, how young you are, you are part of a generation that has a voice. And what you have and what you carry is very important for the people that are older and younger than you. And I just speak that out right now. And I want to encourage you, if you're a younger person, get around the older people. Because you're going to really be wrecked. You're going to receive revelation and wisdom that you cannot get from your peers that are the same age. There's something about living life for a long time. Going through all the struggles and difficulties of life. And being resilient, there's something about that, the number of days that you have, because every day that you live, every minute that you live, you're learning more, you're learning more. And so there's an importance for being able to pass that down. If the elderly did not have the opportunity to pass that down to the younger generation. Now, let me rephrase that. If the younger generation is not there for the older generation to pass it down, then it just goes down to the earth. It goes nowhere. It goes and dissipates. So I want to encourage you younger people to get around the older people. There's so much value in that. So much value in that. At the same time, I believe the younger people have a responsibility to support the calling of the older people. And at the same time, yes, the Lord is calling you to do many things, but recognize that, I hope I don't offend anyone by saying this, but recognize that the older generation and what the things that the Lord has spoken to the older generation is still extremely important, still alive. And it's very, very important for the body of Christ. So anyway, I just really feel that in my heart this morning. And just want to call that out. Just want to bring it forth. There is really an amazing thing that the Lord is doing here. Last night, I just felt in my spirit as I was talking. I just wanted to bring up the issue. Are the awareness of warfare that's going on right now. And I really feel like there's a lot of warfare in the spirit. And you might actually feel like, there's not warfare going on. Like, I feel good, you know? Like, yeah, I'm pretty good right now. Like everything's kind of in order. And I just like, yeah, this is nice. But the truth is that there's a lot of warfare going on in you and then in your family. The thing that the thing that the devil attacks more than almost anything is family, because family is one of the most kingdom represented things in the world. You guys understand what I'm saying? Kingdom is God. Let me rephrase that. Family is God. Family is the kingdom. So, whenever you look at your family and you see difficulties happening, you know, the truth is that the enemy doesn't like that. He wants to ruin your family. He wants to bring it down to nothing. But the Father, he wants to use your family as a representation of his kingdom. And so, I just want to bring that forth. What's the best thing that we can do in the middle of warfare? Worship. Worship. And I feel like there's a real importance in worship in your life to engage in worship. I mean, it is so, sometimes it is so difficult to step into a place of worship whenever you're in the middle of warfare. There's so much resistance in your spirit and in your mind. Your spirit really eagerly wants to engage in worship, but your mind is the battlefield. There's so much battle going on in your mind, you know? And in just a few minutes, I'm actually gonna play, because I felt like the Lord wanted me to play over that. He wanted me to play music over that and just actually allow time for you to soak in His presence and soak in His rest. 'Cause the best thing that you can do is just let it go. Lay back in the Father and just rest. Like, my life is pretty crazy. Like, I have a couple businesses, I have a family, and then we have, you know, worldwide missions going on. And then I go around and speak a lot. And sometimes I get these, like, anxiety attacks over me. I just want to be truthful. Like, I get these anxiety attacks sometimes. What am I going to talk about? How am I gonna run my business whenever I'm out of the town? Or what about my family? You know, all this kind of stuff that's going on. I've learned the secret of being content in the middle of that. And it has to do with rest. It has to do with just laying back and being like, oh, Father, I love You. I worship You. You're so good. And there's so much power and revelation in that, you know. And so I just right now, I just speak against, all right, let me say this too, that the battle is actually good that's going on in your mind. It's actually supposed to be that way. There's actually supposed to be a battle in your mind. If there's not a battle, if you feel like everything is okay, then there's a problem. There's a problem. Yeah. Yeah, it's like there's a weight on us for a reason. But that weight is a burden that we're supposed to carry. But it is a yoke that the Lord has put on us, but it's a double yoke. Meaning Jesus is right beside you. He's standing with you. He's walking with you through the mud, right? So there's a reason why there's a battle going on. It gives you an opportunity to bring His kingdom into it. Yeah. So I have a lot on my heart that I could talk about. There's a lot I could say on that issue, because we've all dealt with it, right? But what I actually want to do is engage back into worship in this. I'm just going to play a little bit. I'm just going to play a little bit, and as I play, you can just close your eyes. You can just be with the Lord. Just whatever you want to do. If you want to lay down on the ground or just jump around, I don't care. Just let it be with the Lord. I feel like Jesus wants to take you on a journey. And He's going to take you on an experience, an encounter that you've never realized you've never had before. He wants to reveal things to you right now that are part of your DNA. Allow Him to actually dissect you. Allow Him to actually go inside of you and take you on a journey inside of your heart to show you the things that He's designed you for. you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I just love you. I thank you for this this place. I thank you for the people that are here today. I just speak your blessing over them. I speak your grace, that there will be more grace for this season. There's grace for what you do. I just speak over the callings that are on their lives. I speak grace over their callings. That I just want to speak over this place right now, that there are some people in here that feel lost. You feel like you're stuck. You feel like you're at a dead end, and you're just not sure where to go. And I felt like the Lord says that he put you there for a reason, so you could turn your heart to him. And I just speak over that. Turn your heart to him. He will give you the answers. He will give you the steps to take, an understanding of what direction you need to go. Thank you, Jesus. I feel like there's a real awakening happening in some people right now. Even as I speak, they're just like, whoa, what's going on? There's a real awakening going on right now in your spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit wanting to direct you to new things. He's wanting to actually activate you in new giftings that he's called you into. And there would be a new understanding that the Lord has given you whenever you go to places. You're going to just sense things in the spirit. You're going to just be like, how do I know this about these people? How do I know this about this atmosphere? And the reason why that you just happen to know is because that's the Holy Spirit speaking through you, giving you these new senses in your spirit. And you're going to be able to distinguish what is good, what is not good. And he's given you that so that you can help direct people. You can bring truth. You can bring justice. You can bring his kingdom into the darkness. Yeah. And as I was playing earlier, I felt like the Lord wanted me to give this flute away. I make all my flutes, and been making them for many years. And this flute that I played today is a Native American style flute. And as I was playing it, the Lord highlighted people who I wanted to give it to. And so I'm going to give it to them. These two. Are you a couple? You two there? Yeah. Okay, can you two come up? Oh, hi there. I didn't even know that. Yeah, I didn't realize that was you. Ryan and Emily. Yes. Okay, so this is Ryan and Emily, which you guys already know that, but most of you at least. I felt like the Lord wanted me to give this to you as a couple. And as I was playing it, the Lord highlighted you two. And as I saw you, I felt like the breath of God is going to come in you. Like you never realize. Are you a married couple?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
You married us 9 years ago.
Okay, awesome. Okay. So, I don't usually do this, but this is a double chamber flute, meaning there's two different chambers. Whenever you blow in this one section, the air blows into the second chamber. And I feel like the Lord said that you two, both of you together, are like an instrument that God is using, or a double chambered instrument. And it's the breath of God coming through you that makes the sound. And you're going to be a sound to this nation. This actual place, you're going to be a sound that comes from heaven, comes from the breath of God. And I just speak the breath of God over you right now. And I bless this couple. And we just thank you for the foundation that you set in them many years ago, 9 years ago. And I thank you that for the breath that is coming in them. You guys are going to get actual strategies whenever you're together. Like, you're going to be like worshiping and talking together, even going through some tough moments together. And the Lord's going to give you strategies. And he's going to say, this is how you do it. And those strategies are for you two first, but then after years and after time, actually those strategies, you'll implement those for like big groups of people. You're going to be leading groups of people that are going to be passionate young people that want to know how to live life, and you're going to provide that for them. So bless you guys here.
Thank you.